Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, August 1st, 2021. I'm reading on Thursday, August 5th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for August 2021. Tom Green County as of August 5th from the city of San Angelo. 18,439 positive cases reported. 81 new positive tests. Deaths, 321, 205 from Tom Green County and 116 from other counties. 51 currently hospitalized. 1,075 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Chastity Lasky. Tom Green County has administered more than 84,918 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of August 3rd, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 2.4% from the previous week's tally of 82,908 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 34% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of August 3rd. Conservative policies and ideas discussed at 17th Annual West Texas Legislative Summit by John Tufts, published August 5th. One after one, Republican legislators, industry leaders, and other elected and appointed officials expressed their opinions on policy matters affecting the Lone Star State during the 17th Annual West Texas Legislative Summit. The summit is hosted by the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce, along with honorary co-hosts Congressman August Pfluger, Texas Senator Charles Perry, and Texas Representative Drew Darby. A full day of topic-driven panel discussions took place for roughly 8 hours Wednesday, August 4th at Angelo State University's Houston Hart University Center. About 400 people were in attendance to listen to several Republican leaders speak about policy and politics from West Texas to Washington, D.C. This year's focus was titled Beyond COVID-19, with panel topics that touched on education, infrastructure, agriculture, energy, and transportation, as well as borders and ports. The summit featured a who's who in Texas politics, with speakers that included former United States Navy SEAL and current U.S. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, Congressman Kevin Brady, the top Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, Commissioner Mike Morath with the Texas Education Agency, Commissioner Emily Lindley with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, Josh Osborne, chairman of the Ports to Plains Alliance, and Commissioner Christy Craddock, chairman of the Railroad Commission of Texas. Moderators throughout the day asked a barrage of questions to speakers on how COVID-19 had impacted life in Texas. Congressman Chip Roy, a member of the Judiciary and Veterans Affairs Committee, opined how the coronavirus may have negatively affected children during a panel titled Reimagining Education by Reshaping for the Future. We did a disservice to our children across this nation, running in fear and cowering in the corner and masking them up, Roy said. We're going to be watching what happens from a mental health perspective for years to come, and I think we ought to keep that perspective as people call for more shutdowns. In the same panel, TEA Commissioner Mike Morath said there was an unprecedented infusion of federal resources into public education as the virus raged across the country. Morath said it led to school districts across Texas spending large sums of money to find ways of educating children during the pandemic. We spent $1 billion in the past 15 months ensuring every kid in Texas had a laptop, iPad, or Chromebook, Morath said. Additional investments Morath cited that Texas school districts made included support for better internet access, rapid COVID tests, and new ventilation systems. Like Roy, Morath said the response to the pandemic could have long-lasting effects on Texas children. We saw the largest academic decline in terms of student outcomes, Morath said. Depending on how you look at it, it wiped out somewhere between 10 and 25 years worth of academic gains in the state of Texas. Morath said Texas school districts would likely experiment with longer school years and specialized tutoring programs to accelerate learning and bring those gains back. Throughout the day, many Republican and conservative-leaning panelists lambasted Democrats and the Biden administration, as well as left-wing policies like the Green New Deal and critical race theory, both of which have become political lightning rods. "I'm going to be politically incorrect for a moment," said Congressman Randy Weber, a member of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, during a panel on energy management. "No CRT," and paused for a moment for the applause to die down. "Let's teach our kids that America is worth fighting for. It is the greatest country in the world for a reason," Weber said. In May, Weber co-sponsored a bill, H.R. 3046, that was introduced to prohibit federal funds from providing training and education based on critical race theory at United States military academies. In the same energy panel, Congressman Dan Crenshaw criticized alternative energy sources, stating that Democrat plans to invest in wind and solar energy were too unrealistic at the present time. Both he and fellow panelist, Congressman Kevin Brady, advocated for Texas Petroleum, stating that solutions to climate change would likely come from the oil and gas industries. Keynote speaker, Congressman August Pfluger, took several direct shots at the Biden administration during a lunchtime address, saying the president didn't understand rural America nor appreciate what rural America had to offer. "The Biden administration not appreciating rural America is personally offensive to me," Pfluger said. Pfluger championed conservative ideas being expressed by other panelists. During his closing remarks at the end of the summit, Pfluger stated it would be Texas that would lead the country out of the mess left by the Biden administration. Interstate 14 Amendment unanimously approved by U.S. Senate. From Staff Reports, published August 5th. The U.S. Senate has unanimously approved an amendment to the pending bipartisan infrastructure package, expanding the congressional designation of Interstate 14 on a corridor across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, according to a news release. The amendment was offered jointly by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia. The full I-14 congressional designation was supported by all 10 senators along the corridor, which runs from Midland, Odessa, Texas, to Augusta, Georgia. The designation was approved earlier in the U.S. House and has the support of every House member whose district is on the I-14 route. "We expect that the Senate infrastructure package will be voted on soon and sent to the House for consideration. It appears the momentum is in place to get this passed and signed by the president," said John Thompson, chairman of the I-14 Gulf Coast Strategic Highway Coalition, which has been building grassroots support for I-14 over the past decade. In Texas, the I-14 corridor runs from Midland, Odessa to San Angelo, Killeen, Fort Hood, Bryan College Station, Livingston, Woodville, and Jasper. Moving east, the designated I-14 corridor connects Fort Polk, Leesville, Alexandria, Pineville, Louisiana, Natchez and Laurel, Mississippi, Selma and Montgomery, Alabama, and Columbus, Macon, and Augusta, Georgia. 4 spur interstate routes connect future I-14 to I-10 in Texas and Mississippi. The designation includes an interstate loop at Bryan College Station. "I applaud my Senate colleagues for supporting this bipartisan amendment to designate future Interstate 14 across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, so we can begin the necessary work to upgrade this road system and connect strategic military installations across our states," said Senator Cruz. I am grateful to Senator Warnock for joining me in leading this effort to ensure Texans and Georgians have the critical infrastructure they deserve and reap the benefits of the economic development and growth that come along with it. Senator Warnock said that he is proud to have worked together with Senator Cruz to win Senate approval. This planned route would connect military installations across Georgia and drive economic opportunities to our rural communities, he said. The I-14 corridor will cover more than 1,300 miles. Congressional authority for new interstate highways of this length are very rare, said Coalition Chairman Thompson. The leadership provided by Senators Cruz and Warnock and our other senators was essential to this major step in advancing Interstate 14 as a future corridor for handling freight movement, military facility connectivity, coastal evacuation, and sparking economic development. Thompson offered his special thanks to Congressman Brian Babin of Texas, who has been the lead sponsor in the House of I-14 designation legislation over a period of several years. Thompson also thanked local community leaders across the five states for their persistent efforts to build and maintain state and local support for the new interstate corridor. Their efforts were responsible for gathering the written support from state departments of transportation and regional transportation planning agencies that was required by congressional committees dealing with the proposed I-14 designation. He noted that this authorization is only the first step in a decades-long process of building out I-14. Supporters must now shift to working to win funding for planning and construction of projects on the corridor, work that must be done with Congress, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Departments of Transportation in each of the states along the I-14 corridor, which are responsible for building highway infrastructure, he said. In 2015, Congress designated the Central Texas Corridor as future Interstate 14. The first 25-mile section of the Interstate 14 highway connecting Fort Hood and Killeen to Interstate 35 at Belton was added to the interstate highway system in 2017. Thompson pointed out that completing the interstate linkage between a dozen military facilities across five states will add to the military value of each of these installations. Upgrading existing highways and spurs will provide greater freight movement efficiency in each state and nationally. It will add much needed additional roadway capacity parallel to I-10 and I-20 across each of the five states. I-14 will also provide important natural disaster evacuation capacity along the Gulf Coast and a high-elevation alternative to I-10, which is periodically damaged and out of service by hurricanes, flooding, and maritime events. The I-14 corridor, in almost all cases, follows and would be an upgrade of existing highways. Starting in West Texas, the corridor follows State Highway 158 and U.S. 87 from Midland to San Angelo and Brady, then runs east on U.S. 190 to tie into the existing section of I-14 at Killeen. It then generally follows U.S. 190 to East Texas, crossing the Sabine River near Fort Polk at Leesville, Louisiana. In Louisiana, the corridor generally follows LA 28, connecting Leesville, Alexandria, and Vidalia. In Mississippi, the corridor starts at Natchez and runs east, following U.S. 84 to Laurel. It runs concurrently on I-59 to Meridian and then generally follows U.S. 80 to Montgomery, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning. From there, it follows existing routes to Warner Robins, Macon, Fort Gordon, and Augusta. Spur routes connect I-10 in West Texas at Beaumont, Texas, and at Gulfport, Mississippi. Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd is a voting member on the I-14 Coalition. Guy Andrews, the City of San Angelo's Economic Development Director, is an ex officio member. Cowboy Up Chocolates moving to larger location in downtown San Angelo. by Rosanna Frere, published August 5th. Cowboy Up Chocolates is moving to a larger location in downtown San Angelo after having a great year of business during COVID-19. In case you missed it, the business was bought out in 2019 from James Crowder. Owner Misty Mullen and her husband Charles, who jokingly refers to himself as the Wild West Charlie the Chocolatier, took over, but Crowder stayed with them for a few months. He stayed on with us during the beginning of 2020 for a bit, and then he got sick at the end of 2020, Charles said. He was with us for a bit to show us the business. Charles said they are moving the business from 2411 College Hills Boulevard to 6 East Concho Avenue and will expand its menu offers. Right now we do the gourmet truffles, brittles, toffees, and caramels, but we are going to bring new products, start making fudge, and carrying some gourmet popcorn, unique flavor cotton candies, and diversify our store to have a little more than just chocolate, he said. Charles said they are aiming to open the new location on the first day of fall, September 22nd. Despite businesses closing during COVID-19, Cowboy Up Chocolates kept business up and hopes to continue to grow. Business has been great for us, even during COVID, Charles said. We did really well due to our online business being maintained. With this new location, we hope to get more foot traffic and exposure. Charles said the company has plans to expand to Fredericksburg. That is still a project for us to open a location there, but is still about a year out, he said. It's the tourist capital of Texas. It's a highly populated area and has the right clientele for our business. Cowboy Up Chocolates will also be featured in Texas Highway Magazine in September, highlighting hotspots in Texas. Two arrested in San Angelo after evading officers during vehicle pursuit by Rosanna Frere, published August 5th. Two people were arrested in San Angelo after evading police officers during a vehicle pursuit Wednesday, August 4th, according to a news release. At about 7:58 p.m. Wednesday, officers located a white Ford truck that was believed to be connected to several burglaries throughout the city and county, the release stated. Officers initiated a traffic stop on Southwest Boulevard near Twin Mountain Drive, but the driver failed to stop and attempted to evade officers, according to the release. Pursuing officers lost sight of the vehicle for a short period, but it was later discovered that the truck had struck a parked vehicle on Oxford Circle, the release stated. The suspects then fled on foot, and a perimeter was set up by the San Angelo Police Department, which had its K-9 unit and drone team search the area. After a search of the area, the two suspects were later located hiding under a truck in the 27 block of SAC, according to the release. The suspects were taken into custody without incident. The driver, a 16-year-old male, was arrested on a directive to apprehend warrant, felony evading, and evading on foot. The passenger, 18-year-old Shannon Clark, was arrested for evading on foot. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office assists Texas Rangers with Menard standoff by Rosanna Frere, published August 5th. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office assisted in an hours-long standoff in Menard, according to a news release. At about 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 4th, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office responded to a request for assistance from the Menard County Sheriff's Office and the Texas Rangers. The Department of Public Safety also assisted. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deployed its Special Operations Group to Menard to assist with a fugitive that was barricaded in his residence, the release stated. The fugitive, Sean Edward Crawford of Menard, had numerous outstanding warrants, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and two counts of assault on a peace officer, according to the release. Crisis negotiators communicated with Crawford for several hours in an attempt to facilitate his surrender, the release stated. At about 4:30 p.m., Crawford stopped communicating with negotiators. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office special response team was deployed and, utilizing proper police tactics, was able to safely extract Crawford from the residence, the release stated. Crawford was placed under arrest and transported to the Menard County Jail. Police identify man who died in crash near San Angelo's Kirby Park. Here's what we know. By Elena Edgen, published August 4th. San Angelo police identified a man who died Wednesday in the second fatal crash this week, according to a police news release. About 7:50 p.m., Tuesday, August 3rd, police arrived to a two-vehicle crash in the 1400 block of Edmond Boulevard by Kirby Park. An investigation revealed the driver of a black Chevrolet Tahoe driving eastbound suddenly swerved into the westbound lane. The Tahoe hit a white Chevrolet Silverado 2500 head-on, according to SAPD Sergeant Cade Soulsbury at the scene Tuesday night. The Tahoe held two adults, not wearing seatbelts, and two children, ages 11 and 8, who were wearing seatbelts. One of the adults, Jermaine Lander, 33, died from his injuries at the hospital, according to the release. The children and the other adult in the Tahoe, along with three other people from the Silverado, were treated for non-incapacitating injuries at Shannon Medical Center. Police believe alcohol was a factor in the crash and are still investigating, according to the release. TJ's Frozen Yogurt Closing Its Doors in San Angelo, by Rosanna Frere, published August 4th. TJ's Frozen Yogurt is closing its doors in San Angelo after 10 years of service, according to a Facebook post. Its last day in business at 3347 Knickerbocker Road will be Sunday, August 8th, the post stated. We are retiring and closing, the post said. The best part of the last 10 years is watching the kids grow up. We'll post customer photos from now until Sunday. The reason for closing has not been announced. The frozen yogurt shop is run by Janet and Tommy Lay, who stated they are working on finding someone to continue the TJ's tradition of selling Froyo in San Angelo. Shannon ready to open more COVID units if needed as positive cases rise in San Angelo, by John Tufts, published August 3rd. As positive cases of the coronavirus continue to rise in San Angelo, officials with Shannon Hospital said they were ready Tuesday to open more COVID units if needed. Health officials reported 103 new cases of the virus Tuesday, August 3rd, bringing the total number of active cases in the community to 906, according to a city news release. Out of Tuesday's cases, the youngest person to test positive for the virus was an 11-month-old girl. The oldest person, an 83-year-old woman. Both are from Tom Green County, according to data provided by the City of San Angelo. Shannon Hospital CEO Shane Plymel said he was concerned to see the drastic increases in positive cases, but that health officials were prepared. While hospitalizations for COVID-19 hovered in the single digits during the beginning of July, health officials reported 50 people were hospitalized for the virus as of August 3rd. At this time, we are maintaining one acute care COVID unit at our downtown campus, Plymel stated in a message Tuesday to the Standard Times. We also have several isolated patients receiving care within the ICU. As in the previous case, spikes, we are prepared to open an additional unit designated for COVID patients if needed, Plymel stated. We maintain our mission of ensuring that we can provide care for the patients within our service area. Most positive COVID cases in Tom Green County from people not vaccinated. Health officials said the majority of people who tested positive for COVID-19 in Tom Green County during July were not vaccinated. Of the 820 positive cases reported from July 1st to the 30th, there were 623 people, 76%, who were unvaccinated for the virus, according to data provided by the City of San Angelo. The same data showed 126 fully vaccinated people also tested positive for COVID-19 in July, which accounted for 15.4% of the total 820 total cases. There were 43 children, 5.2%, under age 12, and 28 partially vaccinated adults, 3.4%, who also contracted coronavirus. Plimel stated the majority of people who were hospitalized for the virus in July were not vaccinated for COVID-19. Of those patients admitted to the hospital since July 1st for COVID-19 treatment, 82% had not received a COVID-19 vaccination, Plimel stated. We highly encourage anyone age 12 and up to receive the COVID vaccine to best protect themselves and their loved ones from the virulent effects of this virus. The more who are vaccinated, the less opportunity for this virus to spread through our community and mutate within hosts, he stated. During the recent spike in positive cases, Plimel said no entrance screenings for the virus were taking place at the hospital as of Tuesday. We are not screening people at entrances at this time, Plimel stated. We do continue our policy of requiring masks within our facilities. Additionally, we ask that anyone not feeling well to delay their visit. As of Tuesday, Plimel said that there were no interruptions to any of its other services while medical staff treated the large spike in patients with COVID-19. More details released about San Antonio driver who shut down Highway 67 near San Angelo. By Elena Edgen, published August 2nd. More information has been released about a San Antonio driver charged with deliberately crashing his vehicle into a UPS truck, which shut down part of U.S. Highway 67 north of San Angelo for hours after the man told deputies there was a bomb in this vehicle. About 10:07 a.m. Thursday, July 29th, emergency dispatch operators received a call involving a crash on U.S. Highway 67. The caller said a black SUV drove south into the northbound lane and struck a UPS truck head-on, according to an arrest affidavit. The UPS truck rolled multiple times from the collision, which injured the 38-year-old driver's hands and chest, records state. Both drivers were later transported to Shannon Medical Center and released. Shortly after the crash, a Tom Green County Sheriff's deputy found the driver of the black 1998 Dodge Durango SUV, who said he had a bomb in the Dodge and was attempting to make it detonate, records state. This prompted a request for the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Detachment from Dyess Air Force Base and the Abilene Police Department Bomb Squad to respond. No explosives were located in the vehicle, according to a news release. During an interview with the driver, the man told investigators he intentionally steered the Dodge SUV into the UPS truck after looking for a large vehicle or 18-wheeler to drive into, record state. Richard Taylor Hill Jr., 55, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $35,000 bond as of 2 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. How to get help in the Concho Valley. If someone is struggling, there are many ways to reach out for help. Here's a list on how to get help in the San Angelo area. Call 911, emergency services operator, or phone 325-653-5933, MHMR Services of the Concho Valley Crisis Line. 800-273-8255, National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, Veterans Crisis Line. 888-628-9454, Linea Telefonica Nacional de Suicidio. 325-949-5722, Rivercrest Hospital. 325-653-6741, Shannon Medical Center. 325-949-5722, 800-273-9511. Shannon South, Shannon Medical Center. 866-488-7386. The Trevor Lifeline Crisis Intervention Center for LGBTQ plus youth. Local services. Zero Suicide Program at West Texas Counseling and Guidance, 325-486-8255, or info@wtcg.us. In-person locations are 36 East Tuig, 6th floor of the Cactus Hotel, 242 North Magdalen, and 133 West Concho, Suite 102. There are therapists available to meet with clients in crisis situations on a same-day basis. Those who need to make an appointment can do any of the following. Call 325-486-8255. 486-TALK. Email info@wtcg.us. Visit online www.wtcg.us. Urgent services are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those in crisis can visit the following locations at West Texas Counseling and Guidance in San Angelo. 36 East Tuig, 6th floor of the Cactus Hotel, 242 North Magdalen, 133 West Concho, Suite 102. Two dead after early morning wreck near San Angelo High School and Houston Heart, by John Tufts, published August 2nd. Two people died after a vehicle collision Monday morning near San Angelo Central High School, according to a news release. At about 1:29 a.m. Monday, August 2nd, officers with the San Angelo Police Department arrived at a major motor vehicle accident near Houston Heart Expressway and Central High School, 655 Caddo Street. Officers found a disabled red Kia Sportage that had struck multiple large rocks in the parking lot of the school before coming to a stop. Police found a second wrecked vehicle, a white Honda Accord, at 600 West Houston Heart, the release stated. Investigators discovered the driver of the Kia Sportage entered Loop 306 and was struck by the Honda Accord. The Honda Accord then veered off the road and struck a large sign, the release states. Police said the driver of the Honda Accord was not wearing a seatbelt. Due to the impact, the driver of the Kia Sportage and the driver of the Honda Accord both died at the scene and were pronounced deceased by Justice of the Peace Judge Howard. The driver of the Kia Sportage was identified as Rafael Salas, 45, from Del Rio, the release states. As of 10 a.m. August 2nd, officials are withholding the identity of the second victim pending notification of the family. Police said the investigation is ongoing at this time. What You Should Know About the Rising Suicide Rate in Tom Green County, by John Tufts, published July 31st. Most of Becca Nelson Sankey's memories of her stepfather are good ones. She can recall the feeling of being lifted onto his shoulders when she was a little girl, the way he made her laugh, and how he watched as she rode her bike down the street. I remember one Christmas Eve, he and a friend got up on the roof and clambered around to sound like they were Santa's reindeer. He was very nurturing, Sankey said. He wasn't even my biological dad, but he stepped in and made his love even more meaningful. Like pages in a scrapbook, Sankey flips through each memory as a reminder that her stepfather, John Nelson, was a good person before his death in the early 1980s. Sankey can recall that moment vividly. She walked into a room and discovered Nelson's body after he completed suicide. Sankey was 6 years old. Losing my dad at such a young age, in such a horrific way, shaped my outlook on death, Sankey said, noting that her life was forever altered, as well as the 30-plus years since her stepfather died. I always tell people who ask, what's it like to lose someone to suicide? that the devastation of it is akin to throwing a hand grenade into a china shop, Sankey said. You can pick up the pieces and put some of them back together, but nothing will ever be the same. Sankey's loss is felt by others, who include a growing number of local residents in 2021. A recent spike of suicide deaths in Tom Green County has left mental health experts concerned. The numbers were low in the beginning of the year. There were 3 people who died by suicide in Tom Green County during the first 6 months of 2021, 2 in January and 1 in May. Since June, 6 people in the county have completed suicide, with the most recent Saturday, July 24th, for a total of 9 deaths. Unfortunately, we did expect this spike to occur, said Shelby Joseph, director of the Zero Suicide Program for West Texas Counseling and Guidance. Joseph and other health officials believe that as the world returns to normal post-pandemic, more people might choose to die by suicide. During times of social upheaval, she said a camaraderie of crisis forms. People are struggling, but there's a feeling that they're struggling together, Joseph said. While the COVID virus may not be gone, many people have resumed their usual schedules, leaving those with untreated mental health conditions and few protective factors feeling hopeless. With 5 months left in the year, Joseph and other mental health leaders are concerned the suicide rate in Tom Green County could once again climb higher than both the state and national average. Suicide is a leading cause of death in Texas and the United States. Suicide was the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, responsible for more than 47,500 fatalities in 2019, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That same year, 12 million U.S. adults gave serious thought to ending their lives. 3.5 million made a plan, and 1.4 million attempted to die by suicide. Fatalities caused by suicide were the 4th leading cause of death for people aged 35 to 44, behind heart disease, cancer, and unintentional injury, according to the CDC. In Texas, almost 3 times as many people died by suicide in 2018 than in alcohol-related motor vehicle accidents, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. In 2020, there were 3,891 Texans who ended their own lives. On average, one person died by suicide every 2 hours in the state, a rate of 13.38 per 100,000 individuals, which was higher than the national average. Those numbers were more stark in Tom Green County. Suicide rate in Tom Green County higher than state and national average. Since 2000, Tom Green County has been above the national and state average in suicide deaths, which are both about 13 to 14, respectively, out of 100,000 people per capita. There were 26 residents in Tom Green County who died by suicide in 2018. In the following year, there were 22 people who ended their lives, with 14 deaths occurring in 2020. There are several reasons why our suicide rate might be higher, Joseph said, listing reasons that included a lack of access to mental health care and access to health insurance. We also see a huge method for suicide in our area with gunshot wounds, she said. The thing about attempting suicide with a gun is that it is 89 to 90% fatal. Our deaths are higher when we have more lethal means and more access to those means, unfortunately. Out of the 94 people in Tom Green County who have died by suicide from September 2016 through July 2021, more than half, 49 people, have used a firearm to end their lives. I think part of it might be that we live in a rural community, Sankey said. There's this generational narrative that asking for help is a sign of weakness when it's actually the opposite, or you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, even if you don't have any bootstraps. until we get through to people that there is hope and you can feel better, we're not going to see widespread change in the suicide rate here. We have to keep talking about it, she said. Sankey has indeed been talking about suicide, making it a personal mission to speak to anyone who will listen in order to hopefully reduce the number of suicide deaths in Tom Green County to zero. Zero is the only acceptable number for suicide deaths, Sankey said. What suicide surviving family members want you to know. Sankey is now a member of the Loss Team in San Angelo, a group of volunteer survivors of suicide who, together with mental health professionals, assist people after a loved one dies by suicide, often within 24 hours. It's often the darkest day of their lives, Sankey said. We provide them with resources to let them know what help is available and let them know we're here for them. For Sankey, providing support as quickly as possible to people whose loved ones have died by suicide is a crucial part of the healing process. Survivors need support, and we may need support the rest of our lives, Sankey said, who noted that talking about their loved one becomes an important part of the healing process. People will assume that we don't want to talk about it, that we don't want this person's name mentioned, and it's exactly the opposite, Sankey said. You want to hear the stories about the funny things they did. You want to hear their name said out loud. You want their memory to live on. Who to contact in a crisis in San Angelo? There are several phone numbers people in crisis can call outside normal business hours, which include the following free and confidential hotlines. Call 911 Emergency Services Operator or MHMR Services of the Concho Valley Crisis Line. Phone 325-653-5933. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Veterans Crisis Line. 800-273-8255. Linea Telefonica Nacional de Suicidio, 888-628-9454. Rivercrest Hospital, 325-949-5722. Shannon Medical Center, 325-653-6741. Shannon South Shannon Medical Center, 325-949-9511. The Trevor Lifeline Crisis Intervention for LGBTQ+ Youth, 866-488-7386. For texting, Crisis Text Line, text HOME to 741741. Veterans Crisis Text Line, text any message to 838255. San Angelo offers multiple outlets of support in dealing with suicide. There are several dedicated organizations for helping San Angelo residents deal with varying aspects of suicide, which include the following. Zero Suicide Program at West Texas Counseling and Guidance. The Zero Suicide Program of West Texas Counseling and Guidance provides rapid access to counseling services for people experiencing overwhelming depression, suicidal thoughts or intentions, self-harm, or a mental health crisis. There are therapists available to meet with clients in crisis situations on a same-day basis. Those who need to make an appointment can do any of the following. Call 325-486 866-486-8255. That's 486-TALK. Email info@wtcg.us. Visit online www.wtcg.us. Urgent services are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those in crisis can visit the following locations at West Texas Counseling and Guidance in San Angelo. 36 East Tuig, 6th floor of the Cactus Hotel. 242 North Magdalen. 133 West Concho, Suite 102. The Concho Valley Suicide Prevention Coalition. The Concho Valley Suicide Prevention Coalition is a community effort to prevent suicide through the increase of awareness, education, and screening. Meetings are held every month in which survivors of suicide can discuss their personal experiences. Those interested in participating in the group can email cvspinfo@wtcg.us or call 325-944-2561. Survivors of Suicide SOS Support Group. Survivors of Suicide SOS Support Group is a peer support group for those who have been closely impacted by a suicide loss, according to West Texas Counseling and Guidance. The group has two co-facilitators, a survivor of suicide and a licensed therapist. The SOS is not a therapy group. Members of the group receive support, guidance, understanding, compassion, comfort, resources, belonging, and social interaction from others who have lost a loved one to suicide. The SOS support group meets weekly on Tuesdays. If you would like to attend or support this group, please contact 325-944-2561. The Lost Team of Tom Green County. The Lost Team is a group of volunteer survivors of suicide and mental health professionals who are trained to respond to scenes of local suicides. People who have lost a loved one to suicide can call the Lost Team of Tom Green County at 325-939-0956. The Lost Team of Tom Green County goes to the scenes of suicides 24 hours a day to provide immediate support, instill hope, and provide information about resources to those who need it. Concho Valley Home for Girls Going in a New Direction as Organization Shifts Focus by John Tufts, published July 30th. The Concho Valley Home for Girls, Children's Emergency Shelter, and the Concho Valley Transition Center are moving in a new direction to become adolescent treatment facilities, a news release stated. The announcement was made Thursday, July 29th, by the Concho Valley Home for Girls Board of Directors, which oversees all three organizations. The girls' home and the children's emergency shelter were originally created years ago to meet a desperate need for residential havens for at-risk youth in our community. Changing circumstances have rendered us unable to continue in the same service, a release stated. Officials said they recognized a desperate need to provide the region with an accessible alcohol and drug abuse treatment facility for adolescents. Under the auspices of the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Council for the Concho Valley, ADACCV, the facilities and assets of the girls' home and the shelter will become residential and outpatient treatment facilities for adolescents 13 to 17, the release stated. ADACCV will also oversee the Transition Center, which assists local young people ages 16 to 26 who have left or aged out of the foster care system. Officials with the board said they began exploring options several years ago, stating Child Protective Services, the primary entity for placing children at the girls' home and the emergency shelter, has continued to move away from placement in residential facilities and increased their emphasis on foster care and family placements. The number of children placed at the Concho Valley Home for Girls and emergency shelter steadily declined as a result, averaging from 0 to 4 total between both facilities, the release states. Officials said staffing and accreditation requirements and other fixed expenses made the organization's mission unsustainable in the long term. The community support for our operations has always been great, but the intent of those donors, our board, and the staff is for our efforts and contributions to help children in need, not pay the overhead for empty houses under unfunded mandates, the release stated. It was important to us as a board that whatever future course, we should honor those volunteers, donors, and staff, past and present. Further, we wanted a situation where the current staff would have the best opportunity to continue and prosper from the change, the release stated. Officials said they plan to make the transition by January 2022. Body of missing man found at San Angelo State Park. Local businesses in mourning. By Elena Edgen, published July 30th. Officials confirm the body of a San Angelo man who went missing Wednesday has been recovered in the state park. On Friday, July 30th, the vape shop, 3714 Sherwood Way, made a social media post on Facebook stating the body of Darren Keith Corley, 62, had been found. The vape shop made the following social media post. Dear customers who we consider friends and family, it greatly saddens us to bring you this news. Darren has been found, but he is no longer with us. We do not have all the details, but everything appears to be of natural causes thus far. Darren was the heart and soul of the vape shop. We owe so much of our success to him. He lived for the vape shop, and it was all because he loved his job so much. It was almost impossible to get him to stay home on his days off. He always wanted to be here. Here was home for him. We were his second family. The outpouring of support over the past 2 days shows us just how many lives he touched. He had a great way of making all of our customers feel at home. His customer service was second to none. He cannot be replaced. We are completely devastated by his loss. Thank you to everyone who tried to help by wanting to volunteer. Thank you for sharing our posts, and thank you so much for all your prayers. He will be greatly missed and never ever forgotten. Corley went missing near the San Angelo State Park after telling someone he was going to walk around the park about 3 p.m. Wednesday, July 28th. His family reported him missing to police Thursday morning. Police said Corley's car was found at the Burkett Trailhead in the San Angelo State Park. The park shut down Friday morning as law enforcement combed the area, according to the park's social media. Law enforcement found Corley about 11 a.m. Friday in a heavily wooded area of the park. Foul play is not suspected at this time, a Tom Green County Sheriff's Office release stated. This was the third ground and air search for a missing person in the county in 2021.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.